And I have on the line, he has been victorious, Warren Inch. Good morning.
Hello, Paul. How are you, mate?
I'm good. Congratulations, Warren.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you to all of the voters in Leichhardt and the volunteers, mate, who, you know, unprecedented pre-tail of people in some of our booths 3 weeks. But, you know, they did the yards, they did the work, they stood there in the weather and delivered. And, you know, I really, really appreciate the fact this is, I might be the figurehead, but at the end of the day, it's their aspirations and their support that has actually delivered me this 8th term. So it's quite amazing, and I thank them all.
I remember quite a while back you said to me, Paul, I'd love to get this term up because I've got a lot of unfinished business, and I'd just like to get that done. So you've got heaps. What are the sort of things that you now that you've got that 3 years, you want to get stuck into?
Well, there's a lot of things that need to be done and to be finished off. Just outside the electorate for a moment, I want to make sure that the continuity of funding to see so that we lock in the sealing of the Peninsula Road right through to the Sasha Wharf. So we've got that bitumen spine, economic, cultural, environmental opportunities and the benefits that's going to provide is very important to me. making sure that all of those commitments that we made during the course of the election are all, and of course they were funded, so you can guarantee those, and just sticking close there. Now, pause and clause, of course, you know, with the money that they have, we're going to have to see that centre operating very, very soon. We have another animal shelter that we're building up at Weeper as well. So, you know, this is sort of unusual stuff, if you like, for federal spending. However, it is very much community benefit, and there is a community fund there. Why should the animals be excluded? So I'm very excited about that. And you know, there are other things, big things too. For example, the state government is the only, you know, we've got two states and a territory across Northern Australia that benefit from the Northern Australia Infrastructure Fund and the Northern Australia Water Fund. Only Queensland, for political reasons, has refused to participate. The others are getting project after project. I'm hoping this is now serves as a warning to the state government, because you guys are up next, that they will step aside and allow some of these projects. You know, we're talking about Nalinga here. We're talking about getting access for the power into the power grid for
the Daintree.
Kidston. I'm coming to the Daintree, my friend. But for Kidston, the Kidston project, you know, one of the big problems that we have in this is, and so just let these things happen. Don't stop them for political reasons. We've got the investment in the reef, the $440 million that they said they're going to take away. Let them go. You know, Sam Cullen and he's run for the reef. Money's already committed. Now they can let that go. This is a chance, that Run for the Reef is a chance to become an international event, and it's been held up because of the threats from the other side of politics. The citizens of the reef here in Cairns, another great Andy Ridley's project here, another great project that can now have the money funding. We've got the money that's gone into the Wingeti Trail. These are all small, but very significant from our region, and I'm just saying, step aside. Let us do it. Let us spend some of that NAIF money here in Northern Australia, the Lakeland Dam, etc. Now we'll go on to the Daintree Power. You know, put Mr. Berwick, you know, he should, unfortunately, but he does have a lot of influence in the Douglas Shire still, and I think that is very, very damaging for the community. And, you know, he's a has-been. He hasn't been there for a long time. And he needs to step aside now. We've put the money up for the engineering and the shovel-ready project. It's going to be done in 6 months. And that gives us a couple of years then to send it out for expressions of interest and get the project started. The great thing about this one is that it will allow a third party, because this is not an ERGON project, not a state government, which is a state government instrumentality. They don't require get access. They don't need access to the state government-owned grid, TransLink. This is a standalone project, and I'm really excited not only to see this as the first hydrogen project, and I see Berwick and the Batman, Mr. Spencer, there giving their extensive engineering knowledge and scientific knowledge on the environment, on hydrogen, you know, when neither of them can even build compliant, you know, council compliant dwellings in their own, you know, in their own areas, get back to what they should be doing and forget it, leave it, the rest of it to the experts, and so we'll get this up there. We will be able to then see how these costs are going to compare to the state-owned ERGON. Because understand, with the ERGON, every time you pick up your power bill, the state government, through its transmission line, TransLink, 57% of your cost on your power bill is through transmission, paying off Queensland government debt. And so we won't have that cost up there. So, look, it's going to be very exciting. I see some nonsense by Berwick about ridiculous high costs. He hasn't got a clue. He's never been engaged in it. He never tried to get engaged in it other than to throw rocks at it. So I'm saying, mate, step aside and let the community up there have a fair go for the first time since he got involved in politics. So I'm very, very excited about that. And I'll be working with that community up there to make sure that that happens. Another very exciting one. You were there when we did the white picket fence.
Yep.
Yep. This one is really... And again, this is inspiration that was being drawn from an 11-year-old child and what has happened again in the Douglas Shire up there at AFL, at the AFL ground, at the crop pit. Now, I have now been quite obsessed with trying to get a picket fence up there because I think it would make it absolutely unique for Northern Australia. It would be absolutely delightful, and you couldn't find a better place to put it than it.
Yeah, beautiful. Right. Absolutely beautiful.
Now, when I first talked about this scumbag coming here, talking to Gary Young, and I said, mate, look, I'd really like to do something here. The fence is falling down. It needs to happen. But how do we do this? And we talked initially about, and I would talk about wood. The trouble is with wood, it's huge upkeep and it's got a limited life. And so, you know, there wasn't a lot of enthusiasm to go to wood. But then late last year, we came across a product which is a renewable plastic product. Looks exactly the same, except it's got a life of decades and decades. There is no maintenance on it other than put the gurney on it from time to time to keep the mould off it in the wet season.
Yeah.
And the fabulous thing about it is that, you know, you see the size of an AFL oval. Every one of those pickets made out of, you know, discarded water bottles, etc., it would capture literally millions and millions and millions of pieces of discarded plastic. And well, they're already doing that with the buffers, the brown, you know, they look like timber barriers around the facility and the car parks, etc. They're already doing that with recycled plastic there. This is going to take it the next step up in so much as, and you go there to have a look at, not only will you have a beautiful white picket fence, but you will be comfortable in the knowledge that there are literally millions and millions and millions of pieces of discarded plastic that has been captured in there, that has become totally, you know, benign, and will not impact on our environment. Now, that really got me thinking, and then I saw young Molly Spear. The campaign is an 11-year-old. You've got so many kids at the moment that are being activated or being actually pushed and used by activists. Now, I've spoken to some of these kids in my office. I put in, you know, scientists. I had a marine biologist. I had, you know, very qualified people, and I invited kids into my office in the hope that I could have a little bit of an understanding on what their thinking was. I said to them, don't bring your parents, don't bring your activists, and don't bring your teachers. Now, they agreed to do that. They came into my office, but what I did notice before they came in, they had a Save the Reef activist, and my good friend David out the front couple of officers down, grooming these kids before they came in, and were waiting for them outside to debrief them. But we sat down with those kids, and you know, they were absolutely terrified. One of them in particular, never been to the reef, but sure it was dead in 10 years. When you started to ask them questions, they had three slogans. Save the reef, stop Adarami, and renewables by 2030. But when you drilled in and say, well, tell me how you're going to do it, they had no other contribution. Yeah. They were not interested in listening to the scientists and to the people that know what they're talking about on this, and they just continually repeated these three slogans. And, you know, that frightens the living hell out of me. And I said to them, where did you get your information? Of course, they get it from the activists, they get it from the teacher and the university student. Then, out of left field, and that's sad, because it doesn't solve... Slogans don't solve problems.
And that's right, Warren. And the other thing is, these kids are being used as pawns.
In my view, it's child abuse. It is absolute child abuse. You send your kids to school for a balanced education, not to be captured by one activist or a group or another and then pushed out to the front. And these kids, they are so well-meaning in what they're doing, but the frightens are living the Jesus out of them. They're convinced that the world as they know it is dead. I mean, but when you start, well, how do we fix it? What do you want me to do? It's still the three slogans, and then out of left field comes Molly Spears, 11 years old. I know something we can do to really make a difference. Let's get rid of plastic straws. Now, from the idea of one child, suddenly she's driving a national campaign. Now, that's inspirational, Paul.
Absolutely.
So that's what I asked Molly's mum, Jill, to come to my function. I said, if I win this election, or if I win the election, whether I'm in government or in opposition, I want to do something there to not only to recognise Molly, but I want her to be seen that I'm inspired by her. And of course, the idea of the concept of what's happening in the up at our crock pit with our captured plastic. And so I committed this next 3 years, it is my last term, to pushing another national policy agenda. Now, I was very successful. And, you know, I talk from experience. I was one that drove the medical cannabis. I have drove relentlessly same-sex marriage and was very successful in doing it as a humble Far North Queensland backbencher. I'm going to now commit myself to the next 3 years for driving completely for a national policy on capturing plastics out of our sea, out of our environment.
Fantastic.
Turning them into something benign, mate. And we can do this, but it has to be done. It's not just a Molly Spear initiative. Here's Molly, 11-year-olds, not chanting slogans, getting out, doing things. And I would encourage young people to think beyond the activists, ask the questions, get a balanced view, then come up with an idea of what you need to solve this.
Absolutely.
Because Molly's going to do more for our environment up there with the work that she's done that any number of kids that decide they want to take a day off every Friday to WAG school is ever going to do. I mean, she stays in school, she gets a great education, she has a very strong environmental message, and she has a solution, and people are actually listening to her. So
fantastic.
I'm excited to do it, and you know, good on AFL North Queensland, Gary Young and the team up there at the crock pit.
Barry Lee and all the committee.
Barry Lee, yep. Inspirational, mate, because they were the ones that found this product and made me realise how we can make a lot of this benign. We've also got North Queensland Plastics here in Cairns, and they're already doing amazing things with recycling plastics. Why can't we grow this into a national thing? Why can't, you know, kids are now racing around, save the reef. And as I keep saying to them, we don't need to save the reef. You know, the reef continues to grow. It's 90% in the last decade. But it's under serious challenges. What we need to do is to manage it, manage it properly, remove whatever impacts that we can from it, including plastics, and we can do that. We can do that. We are recognised as the best in the world. Any country that has an interest in reef always comes to talk to us, to our universities, to us, to recognising we're the best in the absolute best in the world, and to look for help. We can be the best in the world also in capturing the plastics out of our environment, educating people on how we reduce, getting them in there in the first place. And we'll have countries coming to us to see how we do it, because we can, again, be best practice. You know, CSIRO, Geoscience Australia, got some of the best scientific minds in the world.
Yep.
Let's capture all of that with the enthusiasm and the passion of young people like Molly Spear, who are looking for a solution, and also people like AFL Cairns and Barry and his team up at the cockpit, who are showing us where we, what we can do with it.
Absolutely.
God, we can make a difference
Absolutely.
In the next 10 years.
Absolutely. Warren, just one last question before you go. We're speaking to Warren Entsch, who's the newly elected, and he was the incumbent, but he's been re-elected. One last question, and if you can keep it brief, because I've got commitments. Warren, is the bridge across the Daintree still on the table or off the table?
My own personal view, I would love to see it happen. And it can happen upstream because they've already identified a site. But that's something that needs to be driven up there. If they ask me for an opinion, I always say, yep, I'll support it. I'll be happy to go in to try and find funding for it, et cetera, et cetera. But that's something that needs to come on from the community. But that's my own personal view.
Right.
I can tell you now, but I'm focusing on the power at the moment, mate.
Sure,
let me tell you, there are a lot of not only residential, but, people like Betty Hinton and all the other small businesses up there, the Rainforest Highways and all these others up there. They are going to, and the Cow Bay Hotel, boy, is it going to make a difference to their business plan when they can turn on a switch and they got power and they can invite guests to stay up in the residential accommodation up there, like, Fern Trees and all the others,
yep.
And say, listen here, come and stay here. You can stay in here in World Heritage Area, have your air-conditioned comfort and know that it's powered by solar and hydrogen. I mean,
fantastic.
People would pay to go up there to do that.
Fantastic.
And finally, mate, can I get a big shout-out to one of your councillors up there?
Sure.
Michael Kerr. I mean,
Michael Kerr,
a real grassroots councillor. He has been working closely with me. I mean, the passion on Tourism's Clause wouldn't have started without, would never have happened without him. But Clint Theatre is another one of his passions, and he does it brilliantly. Every time I'm up there, any of the meetings, including the AFL cockpit, Michael was there. He goes to all the meetings north of the river. A world-class local councillor, and I want to say thank you, because he has also been very much an inspiration for me in the work that he does up there, and I just love his work and thank him for his support.
Good on you. Thank you, and congratulations once again, Warren. Have a great day.
All the best, mate. Cheerio.